You know, so I have a set amount that just gets bumped over from the operational account to my personal account so I can spend. So my wife gets to stay home with our two kids and be the primary caregiver, you know, and then we used to get to spend a lot more time together as a family. So, you know, I would say that be disciplined, but also, you know, you're doing this. The whole reason that we're investing in real estate, especially cash flowing real estate, is to live the lifestyle that we want to live. So don't let that goal of financial independence, you know, stand in the way of living the life that you want to live right now.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby.
When I first started in real estate investing, I was completely terrified of making that one huge mistake. In fact, I walked on eggshells, overanalyzed everything, and pretty much paralyzed myself for months, simply out of fear. Are these numbers okay? Will it cash flow? What if a tenant destroys my property? What if someone sues me and takes all my stuff? I knew real estate was my path to financial independence, but I was saddled with a pretty bad case of the what ifs. Turns out what I really needed was a mentor to guide me, someone to bounce ideas off of, double check my numbers, help me build my local team, and provide me sound and sage advice when I felt stuck. Introducing ADPI's Operation Atom, the Action Takers Only Mastermind. For less than $15 a month, you'll get access to a private network of fellow action takers kicking ass in real estate, plus exclusive 24/7 coaching from both me and Mike Foster. You'll also receive programmed accountability through ADPI's 30-Day Hero Facebook Live Challenge, hours of bonus content, including Coffee with Kevin training seminars, weekly live Q&As broadcast direct to you, free webinar replay, and unlimited access to our new house hacking calculator. You better act fast, y'all, because if you purchase ADPI's flagship 37-lesson Military Real Estate Investing Academy today, you'll get 1 month of Operation Atom free. Still feeling stuck? Kick your fears to the curb and join the movement of action takers now. Check out the link in this episode's show notes or text DEAL to 33777 to get started. All right, y'all, that's enough chatter for now. Let's get fired up for today's episode.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. We have a returning guest on the show, Chad Payton. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Doing well, man. Glad to be back.
All right. I'm glad to have you back, man. Got my co-pilot here, Mr. Kevin Brenner.
What's going on, Kev? Not much, man. Not much. Still navigating the troubled waters of COVID-19, but things are turning around. I got, four leases in the last 2 days. So that's not too shabby. And I am currently negotiating the sale of or the purchase of another quad. So I'm just going to keep collecting these little quads and getting that mailbox money. And while I position myself to move into the real fun, which is multifamily real estate, the big dog stuff.
Big dog, man.
Yeah.
I think Chad's one of those big dogs, right? Yeah. Gotten into some commercials since our last time, right?
Yeah. We're in the middle of stabilizing two small apartment complexes. So far so good. We're still leasing units. We've had to step in a little bit
And where are these apartment complexes out of?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know Brian Briscoe?
I do.
Pentagon guy? Yeah. Four Oaks Capital. They do stuff in Spartanburg, and I'm not sure if they go down to Columbia. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They recently picked up, they picked up like a 82 unit, I think.
Yeah. Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're moving and shaking, man. Briscoe is a mover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't mess around. Man.
Yes, he certainly is, man. Brian's an awesome guy.
And he's coming on the show in like a couple weeks, I think.
Exactly.
I have lunch with him all the time at the Pentagon, but everyone will be able to have lunch with him, I guess, on the show. Virtual lunch.
he's a smart guy. He's doing some big things.
Yeah. And I love it. I love the fact that we're all in the community together, you know, and as it just kind of goes to show, as this community grows, I mean, people are going to get to know each other, those movers and shakers in every market, especially if they're military, right? So I absolutely love it, man. And we really thank you and appreciate your time, Chad, for coming back on here, man. I mean, last we spoke to you, you went from one debt, you know, to 8 properties in the course of a year, right? Yeah. This was, you were one of our first guests, actually, right? We had you in episode 14.
Episode 14, August 6th, 2018, guys. This was called a throwback. That date, and I told the guys pre-show, that date is important to me because that is the same date I closed on my first VA quadplex. And, oh, wow. Yeah, so that August 6th, 2018, and we've since renovated them all and we're renting them out, and things are good. Cash flow is nice. I dig it.
That's it, man. That is it. That's it. So Eric, this is what it is, guys. It's important, and it's impactful, right? All this stuff, right? It comes together. So, so Chad, again, like I said, man, it's great to have you back on here, man. Even though you're from West Point, I don't hold that against you. It's all good.
Hey, Mike, by the way, I don't know if you know, there's a job opening in the Navy right now, Secretary of the Navy.
Dude, I think you're
qualified. I think you are qualified. I mean, if anyone, you were a lieutenant.
So. I was a lieutenant. I don't know if I'm qualified, bro. This beard and this hair is kind of bringing me out of rags. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's the
show my face back in there, man.
You might need a trim.
Oh, dude, I feel bad for him, man. But well, anyway, we don't get into politics on this show. Let's bring this back. Let's bring this back to real estate. What was that?
I said, suffice to say, everybody's kind of crazy right now.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is a crazy time we're going through, and there's a lot of uncertainty. Wild, but you know what? We always say here. I mean, you want to plan for as much uncertainty as you can. And you want to make sure that you maintain that faith and that discipline to ride it through. And I truly believe that us as military members, we are the best investors, the best business owners out there, because we live and thrive in uncertainty. I mean, this is our zone, guys. Right. So we'll be all right.
I agree. I think as a community, you know, the resourcefulness and the flexibility that we show, and just to be able to, like, this is what we're used to as military members, is getting handed a mission with a commander's intent and executing that strategy.
Yep.
However that turns out, you know what the end state is. Like, we were just built for this. You're right. I agree 100%.
It's all about perspective. So, you know, so like when we're downrange in the foxholes, or when I'm sitting behind my cube, or whatever Mike does on a ship. I don't know. I deploy with the Marine Corps. All right. But the whole point is, like, we're like what Chad was saying, what you're saying is, when we're kind of trained a little bit to put up with uncertainty and just kind of the everyday kind of crappy life. And then something bad like this happens economically and people are freaking out, but we've kind of been planning and we know that, okay, we have that perspective. We know it's not literally the end of the world. We just have to focus, maybe pivot, and we're going to be fine. And that's what everyone in our community is doing. And I see so many people crushing it, like starting up side hustles, websites, you know, all this stuff, because they're at home. And instead of just like doing what a lot of people do and like freaking binging through Tiger King, they're like legit working on, you know, on how to bring in multiple streams of income. And that's what we preach in the community. Yeah. And yeah, it's just awesome. It's awesome to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about taking that next right step. Mm-hmm. One step at a time, take the next right step.
Next right step. I love that, man. That's a really good philosophy to have, you know. I mean, you want to have a general game plan on what's, you know, what the end goal is, but understanding the uncertainty, you just got to keep making the next right decision, right? The next right step. So that's good. Yeah. Love that, bro. So what's going on, man? What's happened since the last time we spoke to you, man? Where are you at right now in terms of properties, in terms of?
So last time we spoke, I guess you just said I had just finished buying 8 properties, and those are all single families. I bought them turnkey, and I continued to buy turnkey, and then an opportunity came up where one of my partners where one of my friends approached me and asked me if I wanted to partner up. And we went out to Columbia, South Carolina, and found, you know, took down 20 units out there. Mm-hmm. And we've been continuing to look to expand in that area and continuing to buy single family as well, because it's super passive. Mm-hmm. And the cash flow is good. And the operator that I have is a phenomenal operator. It's got his systems and team and network in place. He's a military vet too, so I know that he's going to get it done no matter what. And but yeah, so now we're stabilizing the multifamily property, and you know, we're still leasing units. We've got people looking at places right now, and leases being signed. We've got one being signed today.
Excellent.
Even amidst all this uncertainty, we're just moving forward with that. So yeah, I guess, you know, I'm up to 33 units now. And awesome, just continuing to look for opportunity, man.
And let me ask you a few questions about this 20 unit that you have. Is this like what class of property is this? Because I noticed some interesting movement with COVID. Some interesting movement that are shifting, which usually happens when the economy shifts, the luxury apartments take a hit, and then people start moving into other classes. But what is this 20 unit?
So it's two separate properties. It's a 8 unit and it's a 12 unit, and the 8 unit is about a little less than a mile away from the university in South Carolina.
Oh, so like a student housing play kind of thing.
There are students that live there, but we've also got some young professionals. We're trying to transition into the more young professional. But it's a B-class property in an A neighborhood, like $500,000 houses across the street.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, super close to university, but not in the middle of all the college bar scene and stuff like that.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, we get grad students, young professionals, and we do have some undergrads in there. So that's fully occupied, stable. And then we've got a 12 unit across the river in West Columbia, which over the past probably 3 or 4 years has been undergoing gentrification. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing, a quarter mile away, a brand new brewery being built, outdoor rooftop restaurant, 40, a developer came in, they're putting in about 43 brand new homes a quarter mile down the same street. So good gentrification, rents were super low. Mm-hmm. So with some of the units that people want to stay without doing anything, we're raising like $150 a door with doing
wow. more. And guys, yeah, like multifamily, and I'm not going to like, you know, go off because I could go off on multifamily right now, but do what Chad's doing right now and raise $150 a door on 12 units, like, I don't know what you paid for. I don't know what the cap rates are, but I can, you know, math in public right now tells me you're going to add at least 150 grand to the value of this property by raising the rents, probably more, but you know,
a lot more than that, you know, and that is a C-class property in a rapidly gentrifying, will probably be a B-plus neighborhood in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Eventually that general area is going to be in a area as well over the next 5 years, probably.
That is awesome.
That's amazing, man. So you have been able to scale, you know, which is phenomenal, man. And just to see your grow is great. And I can't wait, you know, later on when we start talking about the nuggets, because I'm sure they've changed, right? And what you deem as important. But that's really cool, man. So one of the things that we also want to talk about on this is, you know, the how, right? So what tools have you used to help you to scale to these units? And I know that we're going to share a very unique strategy here. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So excited to get into that.
I think the biggest things for me have just been education and networking. Mm-hmm. Education, networking, and then taking action, right? Like if you drill into those three things, I don't think that you can help but be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's totally true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with all of that, what those things ultimately do is just completely change your mindset. Mm-hmm. And once your mindset changes, then, you know, and you realize that the only limitations that are out there is what you're imposing on yourself, then like that's just game over. Like you literally just take the next right step every single day, and you look up and you're in a totally different reality than what you were a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 years ago, you know?
And it's funny how quickly this happens. Cause in your head, you're like, it's going to take me 5 years to get to 33 units. And then you start doing it. And it's like a year down the road, you're looking back and you have like 40 units and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But, we have, our brains are so, like you talk about mindset and stuff. Our brains are so like in tune to limit our potential. It's freaking nuts. Like your brain, once you can conquer, you know, whatever's up here between your ears and, you know, then just go after your goal. It's, you open that up and really the sky's the limit. And I'm sure you've seen that in your personal, you know, in your personal portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, just to put that in perspective, I started investing in real estate in 2017, bought my first property in July of 17. And my initial goal was 33 units.
So that was your goal. Wow. Like your initial goal was 33 units, like for all of time, that was your initial goal. I just need 33 units to make, to like leave the army, or had you already left the army?
I've left the army. I'm out. I'm a civilian, but you know, I could pay all my bills with the cash flow right now.
Right. So like 33 units was like level one financial freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
that's awesome.
It doesn't support my entire lifestyle, but it pays all of my bills.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you keep going.
And so to this day,
I can feed my family, keep a roof over our head, pay for the car payments, all with cash flow that I'm currently making right now.
Yeah. And to this date, how many do you have right now? Now you're
33.
Now you're at the 33.
Yeah, he's at 33. Awesome.
Okay, cool. Got it. So that's amazing, man. That is so cool. And I mean, to go from 8 to the 33 in just the 2 years that it's been, less than 2 years, you know, since we've spoken to you last. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal, bro.
Like 3 years. It's 2020. He started in July of 17. That's less than 3 years, and Chad has 33 units. So if you're sitting there watching this or listening to this down the road and you're like, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can do that. 3 years. That's freaking one PCS, y'all. One PCS. You can reach level one financial freedom. It's too easy, man.
And it's discipline, right? I mean, you know, one of the things I want to ask too, like what have been some of the, you know, the habits that you have, you know, done that have helped you gain this success so far? I mean, what are some of the daily things or weekly things, rituals that you practice, looking at deals, analyzing, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I think it's important to first to set those rituals, you know. But I think before that, it's important to understand why you want financial freedom or why you want anything. Mm-hmm. Set that why. Really sit down and understand at its deepest level why you want what you want, why is that important to you, you know? And then build everything around that. Build your daily routine around that. And the daily routine is going to look different for everybody. It's drastically changed for me over the two or three years that I've been doing this. But, you know, for me, I meditate every single day. Talk about conquering your mind. You know, meditation has been huge for me personally, because you learn to understand how your mind really works, right? Mm-hmm. And then just having the discipline to get educated, you know, it just get started. Start with education, start talking to people, you know, and then as you do that, especially in this community, we're all willing to help each other out and point each other in the right direction. And just get set up with the right people and just start, you know, whatever you decide to do, whatever piques your interest, follow that interest, whether it's short-term rentals, whether it's single family, whether it's, you know, 1 to 4 units, whether it's multifamily, whatever, just get in that community and start doing the work, you know? And I think that once you realize why it's so important for you to achieve that goal, then, and you get that deep inside of your psyche, I think that naturally you're just going to start following that interest and following that desire and passion, to do the next right thing. You know, I'll just keep coming back to that. It literally is one step at a time.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's like Mike said, having the patience and the faith that you're going to get to where you want to be, you know. And the funny thing is, it's not going to look the way you think it's going to look when you get there. Yeah. You know? Like, everybody has this idea in their mind that it's going to be the straight line from zero to 33 doors, right? And the reality of it is, exactly, it's going to, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Ray Dalio's principles, but he draws like,
The squiggly. Yeah.
Corkscrewing line up. And that's a really good depiction, because you're going to learn a lot. You're going to do good. You're going to fail. You're going to learn, go up, you're going to fail. And it's just over and over and over. It's such a good.
The entire time you're still trending up, because you're failing forward. You're learning from your mistakes, and then you're reapplying. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, well, I failed last time. I'm not going to do that. But you know, it's all about trending up.
Exactly.
Yeah, man, that's a great point. I love that. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we put a lot of influencers, you know, up on a pedestal, right? And we think that, oh man, this person, right, their life just, you know, went from point A to point B. But I love that because, you know, that's a lot of why we talk about the challenges that people have faced, you know, on the show, right? And we say, okay, well, you know, it's not just all straight, right? There were definitely some setbacks, probably some that brought you back to square one, right? So it's
total iceberg effect. That's what I call it. You know, everyone sees the tip of the iceberg, and it's like, this guy's so awesome. He's so successful. Chad Payton's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then it's like underneath, it's all the mistakes you made.
Yeah, just to dispel that myth right now. I mean, I can tell you, you know, on this multifamily property, you know, I mean, just the myriad of random problems. Every time we crack into a wall, you know, like, we were anticipating spending $5,000 to $7,000 per rehab, and we've got like 10Kers, 11Kers coming in occasionally, you know. So, you know, being able to roll with the punches and have a sense of humor and know that you're moving in the right direction. And, you know, that's why I think it's huge to have networks and good partners, so that you can talk to each other and laugh about the crazy shit that happens, dead bugs and you can't get rid of, you know.
No.
I mean, the stories that you have, I mean, it's so funny if you think about it. You know, I heard a really good idea. This guy said, look man, if nothing else, as you go through all these problems, if you can't find a sense of humor in the time, just think about how funny the story is going to be telling 5 years down the road when you're talking to people about the time that you had these bed bugs that kept going upstairs and downstairs, upstairs. You're just chasing them around. You
know? That's funny. Man.
Oh my God, that's horrible, bro. I can only imagine.
It's been a nightmare, but you know what? At the end of the day, you got to laugh about it and keep on trying to get rid of them.
Yeah, you'll get them.
That's it. So share with us what would you say in your experience now, right? Are like two or three things, right? Two or three rituals that you've gotten, you know, good at, that you've made as, you know, habits to help gain your success.
Yeah. So I think that number one, like I said, meditation. Number two is going to be journaling. And that's both journaling, just like thinking ideas out in my head, and also just writing down. Number one, the most, like, I went through a period that, you know, when I'm in the middle of a project or pursuing a project, you know, every day I wake up and write down the most important thing I need to get done that day. Mm-hmm. And then I get it done before I do anything else. And then I write down three other things that are important to do, and everything else is just, if I get to it, that's great. If not, I don't, and I don't worry about it. Once I get the most important thing out of the way, and then I chip away at those three things that I want to get done, you know, and then at the beginning of the day, I write that out. And at the end of the day, I talk about how I did, like what went well, what didn't go right, and what to do the next day, you know, so it's already written down by the time I get up in the morning.
Yes. You know? I love how you're mentioning journals, and for all of you listening in the future, because this podcast is going to drop a little later, but if you're watching live right now, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret that Tim Kelly and I and the rest of the ADPI team are working on an ADPI goal planning system. It's a journal, and it's going to be able to do, it's full of prompts. We, Tim and I just had an hour long meeting about it, and we were almost done writing it, in fact. And it's going to have everything that Chad was talking about, able to put when you go to bed, when you wake up, your top three goals, your 1,000-meter target, we're calling it like the big goal, and it's going to track it all through the next 90 days. And we are working diligently at that because it's so, so important. And we all know, Mike knows, everyone on the ADPI team knows that journaling and writing your stuff down, it just helps you focus so much. And I found myself much more productive. Like even sometimes I fall off the journaling bandwagon, you know, and I'm like, oh, I haven't journaled in, you know, whatever, a couple of weeks, and I get back to it. And then I've just become instantly more productive, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of it for me, why that was so beneficial for me in particular, was that if I didn't write stuff down and get it out of my head, I would waste a lot of energy on thinking about it. Being a little anxious about whether or not what was I supposed to get done? You know, what was it, you know, in this way, if I write it all down, it's on paper, my mind is clear, and I don't waste all that thinking and worrying about it once it's on paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that, man.
Absolutely. So Mike, you want to talk with Chad about this special strategy that he's using to get all this real estate, because it's going to blow everyone's mind.
It literally will. You know, I think this is something, you know, you were kind of touching on it, Chad. You know, you got to change your mindset first, right? And you have to understand that there are tools out there that can help you acquire mass wealth. And it's not like there's a one fits all solution, right? I mean, there are multiple tools. But once you get introduced and educated on a certain tool, and you know, you network with individuals that have done it before, you take action, you can be successful with it, man. So I definitely want to hear, talk to us, man, about how this creative strategy that you've been able to use to acquire such properties.
Yeah, I love the way that you called it a tool, because that's really what it is, you know. And the tool that I've used, I mean, I use whole life insurance as a place to store capital. You know, at the end of the day, that's how I look at it. It's just a place to store my capital. And essentially, you know, as you build up cash value inside of your policy, you can borrow against that from the insurance company. And I go out and buy cash flowing real estate and let the cash flow pay back the loan to the life insurance company. So it's just a rinse and repeat strategy.
So walk me through this Barney style. I won't say Army style. Let's call it Navy style.
It's all right, man.
Speaking of service, I don't know, maybe Navy. So you have the whole life insurance policy, right? And say you've been contributing, you got it 5 years ago, say.
Yeah.
And you're contributing money to it just like you would any life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And you build up the cash value of that policy to, I don't know, 50 grand. What you're saying is you can go and borrow money again, like from the insurance company, and say, hey, I got 50 grand value, just like you would a bank.
Yep.
And borrow against that, go buy a turnkey, use it as a down payment for a turnkey, which is cash flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that cash flow goes directly back into to pay down the loan. Now, what happens to the money that's still in that policy, though?
I mean, you can typically borrow up to about 95% of your cash value.
Wow. 95%?
Yeah. And essentially what you're doing is you're using arbitrage to make money off of that. So I borrow from the insurance company about 5% is currently what the rates are at right now. And my cash flow is, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15%. Nice. Right. So you're just using arbitrage.
So you end up with like 6 to 7%, because you end up with the difference. You're paying the 5% back, or are you paying all 12% because you don't need the cash?
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to put a number on it, because the reality of it is you don't have to pay it back on any timeline, because the insurance company, it's secured against your cash value.
Right.
So if you pass away, then they just subtract your outstanding loans from your death benefit. So you don't actually have to pay it back. Now, it behooves you to pay that back, or at least pay the interest back, so you're not compounding interest hits on the loan. So what I do is I just set it up, and I don't live off of the majority of the cash flow that I make, you know, from my properties. So I funnel as much back as possible to the insurance company.
You know, and the money, the cash values continue to grow, right? In the policy.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So you'll get it's growing at 5% there, you know, nice. Whatever cash value you have in the policy grows at 5% as well.
Which is way more than you would just say if you had it in a bank. You know, I kind of do something similar, but not so similar, where I borrow against my stock portfolio.
Yeah.
Now, lately that hasn't been so great, but I'm still able to borrow. Yeah, exactly. I'm able to borrow against that portfolio, and it's how much I take out, kind of like a line of credit. But this is great because it's growing steadily at 5%. Pretty much no matter what, it's not really dependent on the economy, is it?
No, I mean, there is some tie to it, you know, but the reality is most of the insurance companies make their money off of loaning against your cash value.
Right. Yeah. You know? So it's just cash flow for them.
Yeah. You do have a guaranteed rate of return on your policy, about 2-3%, depending on the circumstances in the company. Mm-hmm. And with your dividends, it goes up right now currently to about 4-5%.
That's so awesome.
That's awesome, man. Now walk us through a little bit about, because I know it does depend on the type of insurance. You can't do this with every insurance policy, right?
Right. So it's got to be a whole life policy, and it's got to be with a mutual company, and it's got to be participating, right? So whole life is just the type of policy. It's for your entire life. With a mutual company. So that means that it's not stockholders don't own the company. It's the policy owners that own, you know, that's, they own the company together.
Okay. So yeah. So what was the last thing that you said, something participating,
which means that, which they're going to be distributing dividends to the policyholders.
Right. And these are all buzzwords that you need to know, right? This is all something that you, when you're talking to your advisor about, you know, you're making sure that you're discussing this, because if these specific criteria are not met, right, then you're not going to be as efficient or successful with this.
And let me just,
it has to be set up properly, you know? So there are specific ways that this strategy has to be set up in order to maximize the cash value up front, so that you don't wait a long time to build up that cash value. So typically what that looks like is it's just going to have a, you know, like for my policy, it has a, you know, I think I have a whole life policy is, you know, 500 grand, say. And it's got annual renewable term. So I have term inside there. And with a couple of other components, you know, it adds up to like $1.8 million of life insurance for my family.
Wow. But,
you know, only a small component of that is whole life, right? So from the person selling it to me, they did not make as good of a commission as if they would have sold me a $1.8 million whole life policy.
I see.
You know? So, but what that enabled me to do was to realize that cash value a lot sooner, and just gives you the opportunity to start buying real estate quicker.
And let me just play devil's advocate with the strategy here. The really only way, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the only way I see that you could really, quote unquote, screw yourself is if you took out, you know, a loan on your policy, and you know, you either didn't buy an asset with it, which is awful, and then you just end up paying, you know, you're just in debt, or you unfortunately pass away before paying it off. I mean, I'm sure there's something where you have to go and set up your trust and your estate to prevent this from going to probate, because that could be a nightmare. And we've just interviewed, you know, JJ Childers and Clint Coons and that, and they kind of all talked about setting up an estate. And I'm wondering if you have worked that into your plan.
You know, I have not. I mean, I've got my wife as my beneficiary on there and my kids as like secondary beneficiaries. So in my mind, that's kind of taken care of right now. I mean, you know, the good thing about this is, if this money, if I do pass away and my beneficiaries do get the money, it's not taxed. It doesn't fall under any estate transfer rules because it's just making my family whole. It's like any other insurance. It's like if you wrecked your car, you know, you don't get taxed on insurance money. If you have a property that burns down, that's not taxed, right? So transfer tax-free. And so I have not personally done that, but maybe it's something I should look into.
Yeah, well, talk with JJ.
The estate plan is more for your assets, right? Not your life insurance.
Yeah,
life
insurance.
So I was thinking the assets that you bought with the life insurance.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, I do have estate plans set up for all of my property. Yes, but not specifically for the whole life insurance policy.
For the whole life insurance, completely separate. Yeah, but it's great when you use them in tandem because it's awesome, right? I mean, this is just building that overall wealth portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, the benefit of this, I mean, you know, the thing about the whole life policy is it is a tool, you know, and some people will decide they don't want to use it, and that's fine. But I would ask everybody to get educated on it because you can pick this thing apart piece if you just do piece by piece. But when you look at it holistically, there is not a better place to store your money that affords you the same. Like you can use leverage. We know as real estate investors, the most powerful tool in our arsenal to build wealth quickly is leverage. And we're using leverage with life insurance. I mean, the life insurance policy is very similar to real estate. So it's like, that's why I think most real estate investors can understand it because you look at a lot of the components that are very similar.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, Kevin here. And I wanted to take a quick break from the show to fill you in on what's happening behind the scenes at Active Duty Passive Income. Most of you already know that ADPI is not just a podcast. We're a community of real estate and passive income warriors taking action, building wealth, and giving back together. That's why I'm so proud to announce the creation of ADPI's Financial Services Division. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team of pros is ready to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's true, man.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, guys, if you're keeping your money in a bank account, and that's fine, you could keep all your cash flow in a checking account and what you get from your current rental properties. What Chad is saying is you could be keeping that money in, you know, your bank account makes what, Mike? A savings account is like what, 0.25%?
Less than a point of a percent, right? That's
exactly. Something silly right. Like that. Or you could be keeping it in a whole life policy that, yes, requires some education and it requires, you know, a little bit of, you know, probably time and talking with you know, insurers and everything like that, going down that route. But you can be making upwards of 5% on that money and then leveraging it just like you would leverage money normally, you know, like from a bank, but you're using it. To me, and I haven't done this strategy yet and I will do it, but it seems a lot like a no-brainer. You know, I'm struggling to find like the major pitfall. I'm sure there is one. I just haven't, you know, stepped out yet. You know,
there's pitfalls. I think the biggest pitfall is you have to be disciplined, right? Because you do not have to pay. Like I take these loans out and it just, only thing I have to do is, I mean, I don't even think, you know, you don't even technically have to pay the interest back. But they will bill you for the interest just to make sure you know that you should probably pay this interest at least that annually with your premium. You know, you don't have to completely fill it up. It's built a certain way where you can go up to a certain amount, but but the only thing you have to pay every year is your base premium. But if you don't pay the interest, then it does have the potential to get away from you. So,
and is this affected by like your health too? Like if you're, you know, we're all in the military, we're all in relatively good health. Would we get better premiums because like normal life insurance?
Yes, exactly. So you'll get a medical exam and the better your health is, the more efficient it is going to be as a vehicle for you. Right. And then, you know, for me, like one of the negative things of me flying helicopters for a living outside of the military even is that I did not get the best rating, you know, because my job is in the eyes of the actuarial, guys, it was, you know, it was more risk. So they charged me a little bit of a premium for that risk, but it still works. It's still efficient.
Yeah. So say if you fly a desk, you might have a better premium. Yeah. Like me. Perfect. Yes. Without, yes. Let's go.
Provided you're in good health, which it looks like you obviously are. And then the only other thing that I would say that people look at as a negative, and, you know, I think this depends on the time horizon you're looking at, is the cost of insurance is paid up front when you open your policy. Hmm. So there is a bit of opportunity cost, right? So for me, like when I open my policy, I to say the first year I throw in like 50K. I think that first year I only saw 42,000 of that in cash value. The company takes that $8,000 and they say, hey, this is your cost of insurance, right? And it takes about 3 to 4 years to overcome that on an annual basis, you know? So, but the second year I threw in 50K and it was like 46 of it showed up in available cash value that I could borrow against. Mm-hmm. And then by that third year, when I threw in 50, it showed 50K ready to you. So you overcome that opportunity cost in about 3 years on an annual basis, and then cumulatively somewhere between about the fifth or sixth years, which you'll see on the illustration. And that's given current dividends that they're paying out right now. And that doesn't change that rapidly, just the way these policies are built. So you got to imagine if there's, you know, with all the economic turmoil we've seen, my rate has not changed since I opened this policy over 3 years ago, right? So it's like when I take a loan, still 5%. And every year I'm still getting 5% in dividends, right? So only if we drastically saw an increase in, you know, deaths, which you might make an argument that maybe it would have an impact, but I would imagine that even this is not going to create enough deaths with people with policies that's going to drastically impact the dividends that they're paying out.
Yeah, and you got to think too that the insurance industry is backed by hundreds of trillions of dollars. Like, I mean, we're talking insane amounts of money.
This is where the majority of the wealth in this country is parked. Right. And it's older than the stock market. These companies have been around. This is how people used to store their capital. Hmm. You know, if you watch A Wonderful Life, you'll watch George Bailey borrow against his life insurance policy to keep his bank open.
that's like the most like old man rich statement I've ever heard. Yeah, George Bailey borrowed against his life insurance to keep his bank open.
You're like, they're using stretch a long time ago.
but it's true, right? And so, you know, but it's really good though, Chad. I'm really glad that you're you know, you're transparent with us, you know, as you've been on this. This is cool because it's fun to see. And like, you know, we've been talking, this is just another tool, right? I mean, the way I understand it from what you've explained it, right, from how I've heard it explained in the past, there are other ways for you to accomplish the same goal. You put your money in the bank, you want to borrow from your own money, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to pay yourself back, you can pay yourself back in interest.
Yeah.
The money that's sitting there is not making any money on interest because it's in the bank account. And you're going to get taxed on everything that goes in and, you know, it even, again, on what goes out to invest, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can do this with a Roth IRA, which is, you know, which is fine, but you're capped at a certain amount that you can put in every single year. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're paying on taxes before it goes in, right? And you can only borrow from what you have in there. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have much to put in, you can only take but so much out, right? You know, and then you can do it with your stocks like Kevin has been sharing, right? But now all your money that's in the stock market is tied to the stock market.
Yep.
So totally when it's time like this, right? When the Dow loses 20 points, there goes like, you know, 20% of your portfolio.
Gone, yeah. I don't know when that happened.
Right.
Crazy. It was 36, you know? 36%.
Or you can do it. Right?
Who's counting?
Yeah. Or you can do it with life insurance where your money is there. It's not tied to the stock market, right? So you're getting protected at the cap. You know, you can put in as much or as little as you want. And, you know, it's completely up to you. Yes, there is a cost associated to it. There's always a cost of doing business. But you know that you're constantly getting a good return on your money. 5%, right, on dividend every single year, you know, almost guaranteed. That's
Now, guys, one thing that I will point out, self-directed IRAs, and we're not going to talk completely about the strategy right now, but kind of the same thing Mike was talking about. You know, if you have a self-directed IRA, you can use the funds in that IRA to go and invest in cash flowing real estate, but everything you make, say you flip a house, everything or your cash flow, everything goes back into the self-directed IRA. You can't touch it until you're, was it 65 and a half or whatever that 50, age?
Yeah, you can't.
59 and a half. But in this, in the whole life insurance, I mean, because you're borrowing against it, I don't know, how would you get it liquidated? Like, say you're like, I don't want life insurance anymore, and you got it liquidated. Would they just give you that cash value? Or
yeah, so ideally, like that, you know, you're right. You can use all those different tools, and there's, you know, you can essentially accomplish the same thing. But in my opinion, this is the best tool to use for that, and this is why, right? So with a self-directed IRA, you can't take out any of the gains until you're 59 and a half without paying a penalty and taxes on it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't, you know, with this, I don't have to, I can go get the loan money for whatever I want. I don't tell them what it's for. I literally call my insurance company and say, hey, I need, you know, $25,000 $867 because I'm, you know, I don't say because, I say, and I need it. And they say, okay, do you want that mailed in a check in 3 to 5 business days? Or do you want us to overnight that to you? And I get that money. They don't ask why, they don't qualify me, because it's secured against cash value sitting with them. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to, I can use it for anything I want. So if the economy tanks and I lose my job, guess where all my personal reserves sit?
Mm-hmm. And you just
inside
tell
that policy. Yep. And I just tell them, I would just, you know, so if I lost my job and I needed, you know, $3,500 to pay my mortgage, I would call them up and say, hey, I need a $3,500 check, overnight it, you know, and then I don't have to pay that loan back until I want to. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's, to me, it's the best place to store capital, because if I don't need it, it's earning the highest interest rate, you know, of any liquid capital that I can have, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess you could maybe make the argument outside of the stock market, but as we know, that can go down.
It's a little volatile these days, people.
Totally, right. The volatility is, you know, it's all based on hope and emotion and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, and then when I do need to use it, I can take it out. And sure, there's an interest payment to go with it, but I don't have to pay that back. You know, and it would be a far cry for you to, if you took everything out of there and then didn't pay the interest payment, it would still take a few years to completely lapse, right? But if you did decide that, you know, so that's the idea, that you access this capital through loans, you know, and if you decide you don't want it, you just surrender it, and that they surrender your cash value back at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can get your cash value out, but what you're saying is that it would behoove you, as long as you continue to be smart, be the smart real estate investor that you are, if you're in this community, you are, then you just keep buying assets with the money you're borrowing against your own cash value, and your bank account or your whole life account will go up and you will be happy. So,
For me, you know, my long-term and what makes this so lucrative for me, I think, is that, you know, I just continue to use this growing pile of capital that I'm adding to, that is gaining 5% interest every year, to buy more cash flowing assets, to eventually just live off the cash flow from those, and still push some of that cash flow to make the policy grow, you know, on top of the 5%. And just continue. So over time, you just gain assets, you live off the cash flow, you know, and if you continue to do 1031 exchanges, you'll never pay the taxes on those properties. And then when I pass away, my kids get tax-free death benefit. You know, my entire estate, more or less, is going to be transferred in that, the liquid estate. And then they get all the properties. And when you pass your kids your properties after doing all those 1031 exchanges, the IRS automatically steps up their basis to fair market value. So you eliminate all those taxes that you would have paid.
Yeah. Yeah. Assuming that you keep 1031ing them and keep deferring and keep deferring and keep deferring.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike, I get your softball bat out, because I'm going to throw you one right now. Where can people in the active duty passive income community find out more about this strategy?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing is to talk to Spencer Thomas, right? Talk to Spencer Thomas.
Ding, 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 ding.
No. So it's actually really interesting. I'm glad that we've had this conversation because, you know, we've been looking into this, guys. And this is to the community now, right? We've been looking into this, guys, because this strategy is absolutely gangster. And Chad has been gracious enough to, you know, really help us out a lot with what's been going on. So Spencer Thomas, right, and Chad and our team, right, we're working on perfecting an insurance system, right, for you guys to use. So we can do this, right? We all want to make this happen. And a lot of the core five right now are figuring out how we can get our policy started too, so we can do this simultaneously, because it is a really, really amazing strategy. And it's something that we've been following for a while, but we wanted to make sure that we fully understand all the cogs and wheels and things that need to happen in order to make this system perfect. But it's gangster, man. I'm telling you, especially when you're coming, like, imagine it, coming off of a deployment with $20,000 or $30,000 and needing to know, okay, where do I put this? What where's
Dodge
the
Charger.
Best place?
No,
right?
Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
No.
The Mustang or the Jeep, right? Of course.
Ducati. Yeah, that's what I did.
That's what Kevin did, right? But no.
Nailed it.
But no, right?
We've all been there. I bought a huge truck when I graduated college, you know?
Yeah. Well, what else are you going to do with that USAA starter loan?
Right. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
I look back, I'm like,
start up that truck.
I probably could have bought like two houses with that.
Oh, man.
And you, it's just hindsight, right? It's hindsight is always 2020. And you look back and you're like, man, what would I do with this money? But you know, to think about it now and get educated on more tools that you have at your disposal. I think back, man, and if I could have gotten a 30 grand check, I probably would have written myself a policy just like this, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, and to make sure, one, that it's the right kind of policy, but in the hopes that in like 3 years, now I can use this and everything that I've been putting inside of it as an amazing Ferrari, right? Mm-hmm. Just a tool, a quick tool to start building wealth, man, and on an exponential scale. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, man. You look back and it's like, man, I would have done things different. But, but you know, but I'm really glad that we've been able to get this transparent moment here and talk about some of, you know, how you have your experience with your policy and the things that you've been doing with it, man. It's crazy. So what's been the turnaround time? You know, take us through the process of investing, and just real quick, right? Mm-hmm. So the time that you make that call to your insurance company, you ask them for that check. Right. And then you write it to the property and then bringing things back in. Like, how does that whole cog work?
Yeah. You know, I mean, once you've identified the property, get it under contract, you get your GFE, you know, your estimate to see what you're going to need to bring to the closing table. Once I get the final numbers, you know, I typically, for me now, you know, in the past I would move it over about a month at a time, but now it's like 2 weeks. And the biggest holdup for me was being able to deposit, you know, a $25,000 to $30,000 check, or, you know, $75,000 check for the, for like the 12 unit we bought, right.
Mm-hmm.
Into my bank and having them clear it. Like that's the long pole in my tent. That's what holds everything up, you know? But now that I've done it over and over, my bank sees a $25,000 check comes in and I use USA for my operational accounts. And now it's instantaneously because they're used to seeing those sums come in. Mm-hmm. And right. So it doesn't set off any,
red flags to the
option
bank,
yeah. Or whatever you want to call it. And so now it's a matter of, I do it a couple weeks ahead of time. You know, I usually get the check overnighted to me because it costs like $10 to do it. And then I deposit it and then I wire it, you know, at the closing table.
Too easy, man. Too easy.
And when you're bringing money back into the insurance thing, how does that process work?
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I do that once a month right now. You know, I can see a time in the future that I would do it once a quarter. But I have, you know, every single operational account I have for whether it's for a group of properties or one property, I have a threshold where that's my like initial reserves. And once I exceed those initial reserves, I just scrape off the top, move it into another account. That's just basically like the holding pool for mm-hmm. that, you know, And then I just move, and then I call the, actually on Mass Mutual, you can do it online. So it's just a matter of connecting that bank account and just paying the loan back. So I do it once a month, once after I collect all my cash flow for my rental properties, and then I just move it straight over.
So sometimes, so it varies, but essentially you're just, like you said, scraping off the top, dumping it back, and you're growing 5% annually. Yeah, guys, you cannot beat this. You cannot beat this for real.
And that's the part that takes discipline too, you know, because it would be very easy for me to spend that money, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'll tell you that one of the challenges that I've overcome through this whole process is I was so obsessed with getting to financial independence that I had a hard time spending any of that cash flow, right? I had the opposite problem that I think the majority of the population would have. Because I was so dead set on getting there. And one of the things that came up for us is, you know, I have two small kids, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And once my son was born, you know, we had to make the decision that my wife was not going to go back to work. So now I take a little bit of a distribution from that cash flow, but my wife stays home with our two kids, you know? And, so outside of that, you know, so I have a set amount that just gets bumped over from the operational account to my personal account so I can spend. So my wife gets to stay home with our two kids and be the primary caregiver, you know, and then we used to get to spend a lot more time together as a family. So, you know, I would say that be disciplined, but also, you know, you're doing this. The whole reason that we're investing in real estate, especially cash flowing real estate, is to live the lifestyle that we want to live. So don't let that goal of financial independence, you know, stand in the way of living the life that you want to live right now. You know, now I'll say that, but you know, I still drive I got a 2005 Grand Cherokee. Man. I love that thing. And I'm going to drive that thing till the wheels fall off of it. You know,
there you go. That's
it, but man. I love that though.
It's millionaire really next door stuff.
The car is not important to me, but having my wife home to take care of the kids and be able to be a mom and have time together as a family to connect, like that's what's important to me.
That's why.
Totally.
So don't be afraid to spend a little bit of the money on stuff like that. Like you got to live the life that you want to live. Otherwise we wouldn't be doing this.
You know? Right. And be disciplined. You know, I mean, you want to live an awesome lifestyle. I get it. Right. But understand, put your needs now versus your needs later. Right. If you want to be driving a Ferrari and that's your goal, hey, great. Understand when it's the time to get there. Maybe right now, right? The time
after your deployment.
Maybe the time right now is to focus on, you know, bringing the family together, getting that family unit, because you also are doing this for your family, right? So what a blessing, right? To say that you've built enough of an empire that now you can retire your wife and to let her stay at home and focus on being that primary caregiver. Yeah. That's huge, man. Yeah. That's a freaking amazing milestone, bro. That warms my fucking heart, dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, it's, you know, and the most amazing part, Mike, is that, you know, sure, like her primary role is the caregiver for our two kids, but, you know, now she has the opportunity to go out and provide value in the world and not worry about the compensation piece.
Exactly.
She could do what she wants to do. And, you know, and that's awesome. Yeah, so much happiness.
Yeah, she's established a community of women around the process of giving birth and just being a mother.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and she loves it, man. She gets to share women's stories about their births and just establish that connection, that community that, you know, all of us as human beings like crave. You know, we all crave community and connection.
Come on now, where's the plug?
It's true.
What's her podcast? What's the group called?
I'll have to send it to you guys and you can show it in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes, guys.
Yeah, it's called The Birth Project, and any woman that's ever given birth or going to give birth or post, you know, just post the whole process, you know, she just has created this community where people can come and tell their stories, you know, and connect.
I love that. Hey, Cheyenne, I know you're watching this right now, right? If you're watching this right now, I know you should be looking this up. I'm going to tell my wife about it.
The Birth Project, guys, the Birth Project. Look it up.
Tell your wife about it, you know, especially if you're going to have kids, man, because it just takes a lot of the mystery out of them. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty for women going into childbirth. And, man, it's just like for us. Like, they create a community of people that have already been through it and can give you the lessons and the tips and ease the anxiety and reduce the uncertainty. You know? Yeah.
Real estate investing is totally like giving birth. That is not even, that's a joke. That's not comparable, guys. That is comparable. But that line that Chad just drew, I was like, dude, I can't let that go.
From the guy's perspective, I mean, to be honest, some of the stress, it seems like it could very well be similar.
I don't think so. Probably not. If Cheyenne's watching this right now, she's going to be like...
Yeah, you definitely don't want to compare.
Don't open with that. Don't open with that.
It's all good.
There's a child for
For sure not. For sure not. But hey, man, but thank you, man, for opening up, you know, and sharing this time with us, bro, because it's big. And God, man, just so many awesome nuggets. We're running out of time, though, so we do got to take you into the bull bonus round. I'm excited for this, though, because I cannot wait to hear the last three nuggets that you have, you know, different from the last time you shared with us.
Yeah.
So first question, what is your favorite book and or you know, a software tool that you use, you know, for your investing, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I'll do two. So my favorite book that I read was The Mystery of Capital. And it escapes me who reads it right now, but the essence of the book is it just walks you through how contract law and property rights were established across the U.S. in the early stages of westward expansion. And it compares it to, it compares Western countries that have thriving economies to places that don't have strong contract law and property rights. And that's the difference between where, why economies thrive and why they don't. So it's really eye-opening and it's super interesting to see how property rights in this country were a patchwork because it was reactive to people going out and claiming homesteads. And so they didn't want to get shot for going out to California where there were gold miners out there digging for gold and come in and try to tell them how their property rights were going to look. They took what they already established and integrated that collectively.
Interesting.
That is super interesting.
Like a very, very deep book.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes.
Really opened up my eyes how you can use the equity in your properties to buy more properties and maintain both.
Love that. All right.
And
then you said there's another.
Yeah, there's another one.
Hold on. I'm going to grab this real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a live demonstration. If you're watching this on Facebook Live, Chad is pulling something out of his. It is the Freedom Journal. All right.
Yeah. And it's by John Lee Dumas, but it's just I know you guys are going to come out with your own, but in the meantime, like if you're interested, this journal is,
It looks pretty legit. I love the border.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good solid book, man. You know, kind of looks like a Bible from the side.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that. It's like gold pages. Dang. Look at that.
Yeah. Wow. That's it.
All right. Freedom Journal. Cool.
All right. Number two, who is your biggest hero and why?
Dude, this is probably one that hasn't changed, man. Like, I don't know that I think last time around, I didn't say I had like a specific hero and I still don't think I do. But, to me, like the people that I look up to are, you know, anybody that has, I don't even want to say conquered, but you know, I don't know if you ever really conquered, but yeah, but really understand the true nature of their mind and realize that the only limits that we have are the limits that we place upon ourselves. And once you realize that, you start living your life the way that you want to do it, doing the things you want to do, connecting with the people you want to connect with, you know, everything just opens up, you know? And that's the people that I look up to.
That's so true.
That's great, man. That is so true. Love it. All right. Question number three. What do you like to do for fun outside of real estate, outside of business?
Yeah, so I surf, I hike. You know, I've got two kids, so I play with them all the time. You know, that's one of the things that brings me the most joy is just connecting with my kids. And, you know, like today, even amongst all this chaos, you know, it's like we got outside, rode bikes, scooters, you know, nice. Just getting outside, being active. Yeah. And, that and listening to music. And I like to drink a little beer every now and then, you know.
Who doesn't?
All right.
All right.
Nature, music, and beer.
That's the holy trinity, I believe.
Doesn't get much better than that.
All right, final question. And I know you've dropped a lot of these throughout the episode already, but we're going to ask you for three more. What are three nuggets that you would that you would tell someone who's just getting started in real estate investing?
Yeah. Get educated, start networking, and get started.
Boom. So in a nutshell, learn, network, and take action.
Yep.
Oh, exactly. Man. Oh man, that's awesome.
You would think that was said somewhere.
Yeah. If Eric Upchurch is watching, what's it? Learn, network, take action, and success will hunt you down. That is what he says, and I agree with him.
That's it. Well, Chad, listen, man, this has been an absolute honor and pleasure to have you again, brother. Definitely appreciate the value that you've brought not only to the show but to the community. You know, and all the help that you're given to all the folks that are coming in on the page. Guys, if you have any questions at all about what's going on, reach out to Chad. He's in the group. I'm sure there are other ways to get in touch with him. Chad, if you have other ways, man, anything you want to plug, go for it, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. You can contact me through the group on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn. And that's really it. I think just those two are the best ways to get a hold of me. And then I'm happy to explain the strategy. You know, I would implore people to go out and, you know, don't take my word for it. Don't take your word for it. Go, you know, trust but verify, right? Like go do your own due diligence, make sure it's the right strategy for you. And if it's not, I mean, it's like Mike said, it's just a tool. And, you know, I just want to plug you guys, like for everybody, listen to this, you know, these guys know what they're talking about, ADPI, you know, they're out there taking action. They're out there networking, you know, listen to this, become part of the group, get active inside that group. And if you have questions, ask. The only way you're going to find out and the only way you're going to learn is by getting out there and doing it and failing and asking questions and making mistakes and, you know, just take the next right step. Keep moving forward.
100%. Thanks again, brother. Appreciate it,
dude. Couldn't agree more. Thanks for coming on the show, Chad. This is awesome.
Good talking to you guys.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest, and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.